Good morning. How's it going? Good tech head so far? Good sessions? Good keynote? Good food? Yeah? My name is Taylor Brown, and I'm joined with my co-presenter, Rob. Rob's on the clustering team, and I'm on the Hyper-V team, and we're here to talk about the new capabilities we're introducing with Windows Next in terms of upgrade. And really, this is going to be a session that we're going to go through. How do we upgrade our private cloud from the current Windows Server 2012 R2 into Windows vNext? And we've done some really great and foundational work, and we're really excited to discuss that with you. So as we go through our agenda, we're going to start off with a couple of assumptions, validate the assumptions that we have about what it means to upgrade. Then we're going to go through a little of the feedback that we heard from folks like yourselves. And then we're going to dive into the enhancements that we're making in Windows vNext to address some of that feedback and some of the concerns that folks had. And then we'll do a conclusion and some Q&A. So we started off talking about upgrading our private cloud at TechEd last year, both at TechEd US and TechEd North America. And we've got a couple sessions on that if you were interested in looking through them. But we started off talking about that with some assumptions. And the first assumption that we made is that you actually want to upgrade your private cloud. If you don't want to upgrade your private cloud, if you're happy with what build you're on, well, then I guess we don't really need to talk about upgrade. Right? This is kind of the foundation of why we're here. The second assumption that we made is that what you care most is that the users of your private cloud are unaffected by the upgrade. They don't notice that the underlying infrastructure was upgraded. Their VMs keep running, their business keeps operating, but you get the great capabilities that are enabled in the new versions of Windows Server and the infrastructure. We believe that buying new hardware in order to upgrade slows down the whole process. If you have to go get a PO and wait for a requisition cycle in order to buy some new hardware to plug it in just to do an upgrade, that's going to slow down the process of upgrading considerably, right? So these ring true so far? Yeah? Just because you're upgrading the software doesn't mean the SLAs don't apply, right? You don't get a free pass. You don't get to say, we have five nines of uptime except when we're doing an upgrade, right? You don't get a free pass on the SLAs that you have in place. Right? The users don't care that you're upgrading the infrastructure. Maintaining high availability throughout the upgrade process is important. Right? It's just Murphy's Law. If you're in the middle of an upgrade and you happen to only have one node of availability left, that's the node that's going to fail and you're going to have downtime. It's just Murphy's Law, right? So keeping that high availability throughout the upgrade is important. And then last, guest operating systems are upgraded on a different cadence than that of the virtual infrastructure. Right? So just because you upgrade the infrastructure doesn't mean you're going to upgrade every single guest operating system you've got at the same time. Maybe you upgrade some of the guests beforehand. Maybe you upgrade some of them after. Maybe you don't upgrade them at all. Right? The virtual infrastructure and the actual workloads are separate entities in terms of the upgrade cycle. And so we've kind of talked in the past, and we continue to talk about this basic model for the private cloud, right? And that starts with some management on top, System Center Virtual Machine Manager, System Center's Operations Manager, DPM, maybe another backup solution, whatever that comprises. And then we've got a compute layer, which is Hyper-V. And then we've got a storage layer. And we continue to advocate that the scale-up file server methodology for this storage layer is incredibly important. Whether that's backed by a JBOD with spaces, whether it's backed by a SAN, the real key point is that the scale-up file server gives us a great amount of flexibility in terms of how we provision and upgrade workloads. And it really enables a better upgrade cycle. And we've talked a little bit about some of the order of operations. So our general guidance is that you should start with the management, both the operating systems and the clusters, as well as any of the system center components. And the real reason for that is that can then drive the rest of the upgrade process. Right? System Center will understand the new versions of Windows Next as it comes out, and it'll be able to drive and automate the process of upgrading the rest of the infrastructure. It'll enable you to make new host profiles and push those down to update the underlying OS. It'll allow you to do some of the upgrade operations that we're going to talk about today. The next layer really doesn't matter. It can be compute or storage. It's really up to you. My general advice is that I'd pick one. I wouldn't try to upgrade compute and storage at the exact same time and do both. I'd pick one and say, okay, I'm going to upgrade the compute next, and then I'll upgrade the storage, or I'm going to upgrade the storage and then the compute. There are some capabilities that you may want to be able to take advantage of. So as we talk about some of the other features in the operating system, both in terms of Hyper-V and in terms of storage, you may decide that, you know, that storage feature is going to make this process better for me. That's really what I want first. Or nope, this Hyper-V feature is going to make the rest of the process better for me. I really want that one first. Other than that, it really doesn't matter which one you do. So we got a lot of feedback when we presented a lot of this content over the last year. We got told that, you know, you've delivered a lot of great value in Server 2012 R2. There was a lot of really great and amazing things. Generation 2 virtual machines, guest clusters, a lot of great things. There was some really useful innovation. We also got told that this faster release cadence is both good and bad. It's good in terms of we're getting new functionality faster and we're getting to deploy that more quickly. However, it's challenging to upgrade. We got told that the scalability of our scale-up file server was a great improvement. People really liked the scale-up file server model. When they got it deployed, it really worked. They had multiple clusters talking to the same storage infrastructure. They could move virtual machines across clusters easily. These were great things. But we got told we really needed to improve our upgrade process. There was just too many things that you had to do in order to facilitate a rolling upgrade. And with a faster release cadence, that became more and more difficult to facilitate. Right? We had customers who got onto 2012, and even though they wanted to move to 2012 R2, they just paid a year toll of moving from 2008 R2 to 2012, and they weren't prepared to take that year of upgrade again. Right? So we needed to figure out better ways to do that. Some specific ones. Don't make me make a new cluster, right? I've named my cluster something. It means something to my operations team. It means something to me. I don't want to have to say -2, -3, -4 each time I create a new cluster. Don't require that the cluster be stopped. And don't require that the Hyper-V or scale-up file server takes any downtime throughout the upgrade. Right? Just make things work. Make it easy. And so with that, I want to bring Rob over to talk about what we've done in the foundation of Windows failover clustering.
Thanks, Taylor. Can everyone hear me okay? All right. So great to be here. Taylor talked about this model, this basic model for the private cloud with management, compute, and storage layers in your private cloud. Let's just have a quick show of hands. How many of you are running Hyper-V compute clusters? Okay. How many of you are running scale-out file server? Disaggregated storage. Okay, some of you. And how many of you are running SCVMM? So, okay, great. So, in a private cloud, we identified that when you want to upgrade the operating system, we really need to look at the failover clusters running in each layer of management, compute, and storage, and upgrading those clusters. So in cooperation with many teams like Hyper-V and the Scale-Out File Server team and many other teams around the company, we came up with this feature, Cluster OS Rolling Upgrade, which is the foundation for upgrading your private cloud. In designing this feature, our biggest challenge was basically trying to loosen the coupling. So the cluster components are very tightly coupled together. So a specific version contains, a specific OS version has many specific protocols that must be used inside the version. So moving from Server 2012 R2 over to vNext was our greatest challenge. We solved this by introducing a new state for the cluster. We call it mixed OS mode. In mixed OS mode, you can have 2012 R2 clusters and vNext nodes in the same cluster. Okay. You can have 2012 R2 nodes and vNext nodes in the same cluster. And so this is our strategy. Also, it's worth noting that you can change your mind and you can come out of mixed mode and you can come back to 2012 R2 and just run in this pure state if you want to. So if you discover a problem in mixed mode, then you can come back. It's, in other words, it's reversible from mixed mode to 2012 R2. Okay, so actually, let me go back. So once you make the transition up to vNext, then you get the new features that are available in vNext. They are not available in the mixed OS mode. This is the most important point. So the cluster itself, there are many optimizations which you want to take advantage of in vNext. The implementation is relatively straightforward. We introduced a cluster property called cluster functional level. We enabled vNext nodes to join the Windows Server 2012 R2 cluster and behave as Windows Server 2012 R2 nodes in that cluster. We introduced a PowerShell commandlet called update cluster functional level, which allows the administrator to bump up the cluster functional level when the cluster is ready. And all of the resources in the cluster receive notifications as the upgrade occurs. This is a pluggable model that allows all clustered workloads to understand that they are being upgraded. So let's work through the process. How does this actually work? So let's start with the 2012 R2 cluster. So here in this model, we have 5 nodes, and we're going to upgrade them. So the first step is to drain. We're going to select a node. We're going to drain its workload. So we're going to move that off. So that's either a live migration, or that's a failover. It's essentially a move. Next, we evict the node from the cluster. Then we're going to do a format reinstall and put a fresh vNext OS on the node. The node will be joined back into the cluster. So that's a vNext node, but it's joining in and behaving as a 2012 R2 node. And next, next we rebalance. We push workload back onto that node, again using live migration or move, failover. And we repeat this process. So for every node in the cluster, again, we drain it, you take it out, you install a clean one, clean OS, you put it back in the cluster, you balance it. Okay. So it's an iterative process until you arrive at this state. So here you have all the nodes in the cluster. They all have the vNext OS on them, and you're ready now to actually upgrade. And then the administrator runs update cluster functional level commandlet. The commandlet checks that all the nodes in the cluster are active. It checks that they're all vNext, and it starts issuing the update commands, and it's actually very quick. I'll show you. And you are now on vNext. You have arrived. So at that point of time, it's now a vNext cluster, and you can no longer join 2012 R2 nodes into the cluster. But you have the advantage of all the vNext features, which is actually a really good thing. So an important point to drive home here is that the cluster has never stopped. The workload, if you're using Hyper-V or the Scale-Out File Server, has never gone down. Zero downtime for those two workloads. Now, it's true that each individual node in the cluster has had to be pulled out of the cluster and you have the OS reinstalled, but the cluster itself remains running. So no new AD objects, nothing like that. It all stays. And here you go. And that's the foundation. So this is how, using this technique, you can upgrade your private cloud. So you can see how you can move each layer, right? one at a time, or even in parallel, if you like, how you can upgrade each one, management, compute, and storage, all the way from 2012 R2 to vNext. OK, let's have a look at how this works. So it's important to note that we have a pluggable model. The first workload I want to show you is the scale-out file server. Before we get started, there are some best practices that you always should follow. I would be very remiss if I didn't say, make sure that you back everything up. So you want to back up your cluster, back up your workload. You want to check your uptime commitments. And probably the most difficult thing to communicate is understanding what your failover capacity is. How many times can you fail over when you're removing a single node from the cluster? Right? So consider these things. Also, it's important to note that some operations are not supported in mixed OS mode. We've done our very best to check that you will be safe and that you can't make a horrible mistake. But still, I should ask you, as you're upgrading your cluster, please don't provision new storage. Please don't try to change the size of your storage allocations while you're in mixed mode. The worst thing that you could do, possibly, is format something using a new vNext format and then have a workload attempt to fail over onto that volume and not be able to use it or cause some issue. And so that's why we're saying, please don't do it. We believe we've blocked it, and we believe we've been successful there, but please don't plan on doing anything. Anyway, mixed mode should be pretty short, right? OK. And then finally, if you're using storage spaces, you can upgrade your storage space. It's a runtime operation. You can upgrade that after you upgrade your cluster, your storage cluster. OK, so let's see how this works. So if you have a scale-out file server, you can see on the top we have some clients, and we have our scale-out file server there. Now, the way this works, my animations are a little bit brief, but the idea is that there are file pointers from the SMB clients onto the scale-out file server. And as you drain nodes out of the scale-out file server cluster, then the file handles seamlessly fail over. They seamlessly move. And that's without any interruption to the workload. And I'll demonstrate that in a moment. So it's the same process. So sequentially drain the workload from each node, pause drain it, evict the node from the cluster, install the new vNext OS on there, and then add it back into the cluster. Then pick the next node. So in sequence. And then finally, we arrive at this state, and your file handles are back, even though my arrows are somehow temporary there. OK. Who wants to see a demo? OK. OK, so first, let's start with the Windows Server 2012, R2. So this is a simple cluster. You can see here's my scale-out file server. This is just two nodes running here. And you can see that the OS version here. This is 2012 R2. OK, so this is a little bit like a cooking show. We're not actually going to watch the cake in the oven. We're going to sort of, I'll show you the steps. So first, what we're going to do is something important, actually. A major point for a cluster OS rolling upgrade is it needs to be managed from a vNext node. It shouldn't be managed from 2012 R2. So the first thing we're going to do is actually close this. We're going to close this and actually look at our upscale, our upversion node, which is here. So here's a threshold node, vnext node. And I'm just going to run the failover manager. And the first thing we're going to do is connect it to that cluster. So this is the threshold node connecting over to the blue cluster for the first time. And you can, it turns out that we can fully manage the 2012 R2 cluster from this node. So we can see there are the two nodes. There's our scale-out file server there. If we wanted to, we could look at storage, and we could see what we have in storage on this cluster. We've got I'm using cluster shared volumes, of course. OK, so the first thing we're going to do is we're going to add nodes to this cluster. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to add two vnext nodes into the cluster, fail workload, the workload over to the vnext node. Then I'm going to drop the 2012 R2 nodes, and we're going to upgrade the cluster. Let's see. Let's watch it. Let's see how it goes. So adding two nodes to this cluster should take about 20 seconds. I'm skipping validation, by the way. So this all looks very easy. And it's supposed to look easy. OK, there we go. So what you see now is if we click on each of these nodes, in turn, you can see the OS version. And you can see that this cluster is now running in mixed mode, mixed OS mode. OK, now, if we look at our scale-out file server, we can see it's running over here on this node. Let's go ahead and move it. Let's move it to one of the threshold nodes. How about two? So you could see, as you can see, that was very fast. It just moved right away. Now let me show you something else. Just for a moment, let's go look at the Hyper-V cluster that's attached to this cluster. That's over here. And I just want to show you that the VMs that are running here in the Hyper-V cluster that are attached to that scale-out file server have experienced absolutely no interruption whatsoever as we move the scale-out file server. So if you like, we can go in there and look at that. But let's go back and upgrade that scale-out file server cluster. OK. So everyone sees what's happening, right? OK. All right. So let's follow the process. Pause. Drain. So I'm just going to drain this node. It means that I'm evacuating all cluster resources off this node and moving them to other machines, other nodes in the cluster. There we go. It's paused. Now I'm going to evict it. Yes, I'm sure. OK, Now, that node, we could, of course, take that node, and we could do a clean OS install and make that a vnext node at this point. But let's drain the next node in the cluster here. This is our sole remaining Windows Server 2012 R2 node. So it's been paused. Now let's evict it from the cluster. Okay, just like that. So at this point in time, we have only two nodes remaining in our cluster. They're both vnext nodes. And our workload remains running. And furthermore, the Hyper-V cluster, the compute cluster that we have attached, is just fine. No problem. OK. Now, let's go have a look. Using PowerShell, the first thing I want to show you is I want to look at the cluster properties. So if I say get cluster, here is our new cluster property, the cluster functional level. It's using a code 8, version 8. That's our equivalent of Windows Server 2012 R2. Now, let's run our commandlet. The hardest part about it is spelling it. OK, here we go. I am certain. And there we go. So very quick. And if we look at the cluster properties again, we can see now that the functional level is now 9 for vnext. Now, while we've done this, the workload on the cluster remains running. So everything's normal here on the scale-out file server cluster. And over on our Hyper-V cluster, which is using this cluster for storage, it remains running. So we've upgraded that layer of our private cloud seamlessly. OK, and that's what it's all about. It looks easy, right? If I can do it, you can do it. OK, and on to you, Taylor.
Thanks, Rob. So that was pretty great, right? That's what we all expected for mixed version clusters, right? Easy, straightforward, seamless. Let's talk a little bit about what we've done in the compute layer to build on top of the foundation that Rob's team and the clustering team provided us. So we kind of look back. We remember that with Server 2012, R2, we introduced cross-version live migration. Right? We introduced the ability to live migrate workloads from Windows Server 2012 to 2012 R2. It was a great feature, but it only enabled migrations from 2012 to 2012 R2. It was a one-way street. That meant that our private cloud upgrade required two clusters. We had to have a 2012 cluster that we were migrating from and a 2012 R2 cluster that we were migrating to. We had a high availability gap while we were migrating because we had to remove the workload from cluster protection, live migrate it, and then re-add it. So if something happened catastrophic during that time, the workload wouldn't fail over. We also had cross-version shared nothing live migration, which just built on our existing live migration but added a storage migration with it. And now, same thing, it was a great feature, but it had some of the same challenges as live migration. It also required copying a huge amount of data across in order to do that live migration, which also meant it usually required additional storage, right? So this kind of validated some of the assumptions and the pain that we talked about earlier, right? Now we either have to get new hardware, provision additional hardware, make additional clusters, or we have to take some level of downtime to our users. So we're introducing cross-version mobility. So this is going to be our foundation for what enables support for rolling up cluster upgrades. It also has full support for non-clustered upgrades. And what it really comes down to is bidirectional migration support between 2012 R2 and Windows vNext. We can live migrate workloads from 2012 R2 to Windows vNext. We can live migrate workloads back. We can also move virtual machines with save states from 2012 R2 to Windows vNext and back. And we can do shared live, nothing live migration from 2012 R2 to vNext and back. And we're supporting Hyper-V replication from 2012 R2 to vNext and vNext to 2012 R2. And there's one more pretty big feature. There's no more integration component upgrades required. We're completely changing the model for integration components to not require them to be upgraded and reboot every virtual machine every time we do a host upgrade. Good stuff? Yeah? So what are we doing with that? How are we making that work? The IC version is no longer going to be tied to the Hyper-V host version. The ICs are going to live independently of the host version. Windows Server 2012 R2 ICs are going to start as our starting point. So what that means is that any guest that's older than that, a Windows Server 2012 guest, a Windows Server 2008 R2 guest, we're going to get those guests upgraded to Windows Server 2012 R2 ICs, and we're not going to have to upgrade them again. We're just going to distribute the IC updates, if we ever need to, through the normal Windows distribution methods. That's Windows Update, that's Download Center, that's the Linux package managers. They're just going to come out through those processes. The Windows Server 2012 R2 ICs are going to be coming to Windows Update, I hear, in November, Patch Tuesday of November. So what that means is that virtual machines that are running on the technical preview will automatically get the ICs offered to them. We're then going to turn that on for Windows Server 2012 R2 hosts. So any virtual machines that are running on a 2012 R2 host, sometime next year, if they don't have the latest ICs, Windows Update will pop up and say, hey, you've got an IC update. Now, if your virtual machines are running on Windows Server 2012, well, they're not going to see anything. We're only turning this on for 2012 R2 hosts and Windows vNext hosts. And if your integration components are disabled, then you won't see it either. You'll have to go through Download Center to get them. But the real message here is that we're just going to make IC updates come out through the normal channels. That means your normal patch cycles that you run in your guest operating systems are going to pick up the IC updates as they are necessary. We also expect that we're going to have a lot less IC updates as we go forward. The reality is we really don't change the ICs that often. Let's talk a little bit about replica. So we're going to enable replication to work from Windows Server 2012 R2 to Windows Server vNext. So that means if you want to upgrade your replica site first, maybe you want to use that as a test bed, that's a great opportunity to continue your replication, try out some virtual machines on the replica side, make sure everything works the way you want it to, and then upgrade the primary site. We're also going to make sure the replication works from Windows vNext to Windows Server 2012. And there's a little asterisk here with compatible VM configuration version. And we'll talk about what the configuration version is in a moment. But this also allows us to say if we want to upgrade our primary site first and then our replica site, that's a completely fine approach as well. And then, of course, full rolling cluster OS upgrade support. So you can upgrade both the primary and the replica site with zero downtime from the clustering. And then replica is also going to support this VM configuration version that we're going to talk about here in just a minute. So what is this configuration version? Well, it kind of turns out that we've had this configuration version in Hyper-V for a long time. It's just never been kind of a foremost citizen. We started off with version 1.0. Server 2008 was version 1.0 of the configuration version. Then we updated that to SP1. Well, that was version 2. And so as you move virtual machines from these various versions, we just automatically upgraded the configuration version. You're kind of none the wiser. When we got to 2012, that was version 4. And so when we live migrated a virtual machine from Windows Server 2012 to 2012 R2, we just upgraded the configuration version behind the scenes, and you were kind of none the wiser that it happened. But that also meant you couldn't move it back, because 2012 didn't support configuration version 5, which is what 2012 R2 started with. So with Windows vNext, we're adding support for version 4, 5, and 6. So what that means is that for virtual machines that are running on 2012, you can live migrate them directly to Windows Server vNext. We will automatically upgrade the configuration version to version 5, which means they could live migrate back to 2012 R2 or to any vNext node, but not back to 2012. But for a 2012 R2 node, you can live migrate it to Windows vNext, and it'll stay at version 5, and live migration will work both between vNext and 2012 R2, as well as between vNext nodes and 2012 R2 nodes. So we're also now introducing PowerShell commandlet support for these. So I can say git VM, and there's a version property on that that will show me the version of the virtual machine. And I can do an update VM configuration version to update the configuration version of a virtual machine from 5.0 to 6.0. And there are going to be a number of features that are going to be tagged with requiring the newest version of Hyper-V support. So as we add new features that 2012 R2 just simply wouldn't understand, those are going to require that the VM be configuration version 6.0, or as we go forward, 7.0, 8.0, right? And that's important because we obviously can't teach the old OS a whole set of new tricks. We can't make it understand new things that we're adding. We have to keep the virtual machine kind of compatible with that version. So we limit its functionality. Once you've got all your nodes updated to Windows vNext and you want that new functionality, you just update the VM configuration version and that new functionality will become available to it. Hyper-V Manager UI support is coming. It's not in the technical preview today, but it's going to be coming soon. There are some requirements while we upgrade the virtual machine configuration version. The virtual machine has to be in the off state. It's not an online upgrade. We made a huge amount of changes in how we lay out memory that the virtual machine uses for better performance. We've made a bunch of optimizations around how some of the internal hypervisor state works. These kind of things just make it really difficult or nearly impossible to do while the virtual machine's off. So the virtual machine does have to be off to do the upgrade. Similarly, save state and checkpoints that are online have to be discarded. Offline checkpoints, no problem. Those can stay. There's no problem whatsoever. And the cluster functional level has to have been upgraded. So while you're in cluster functional mixed mode, one, you won't be able to create VMs that are 6.0, and you won't be able to update them. And the reason for that is that we don't want you to accidentally create a virtual machine on a vNext node, add it to the cluster, expect everything to work fine, and then have a failure, and that virtual machine then can't run on the Server 2012 R2 nodes that you have there. So let's look at what this means for our rolling cluster upgrade scenario. So again, we've got our initial state. We've got a four-node Windows Server 2012 R2 cluster. It's got a bunch of virtual machines on it. Life is good. We're happy. VNext comes out. It's exciting. We want to upgrade. I think our clicker batteries are getting a little low. There we go. So while we're in process, again, we just did the same process. We paused nodes, we evicted them from the cluster, we live migrated the workloads, and we're in this kind of flux mode where we've got one remaining node that's Server 2012 R2, everything else is vNext, everything's been great. And when we're done, we've upgraded both all the nodes, and we've bumped the cluster function level to Windows vNext. So now we've got a complete vNext workload. We had no downtime during the entire process. All virtual machines are still running. Life is great. Who notices the typo in my slide there? Go back to it. It should say Windows vNext. Right. So let's take a look at this in process. Move Rob's off. All right. So we've got a two-node cluster here. I've got this node, TaylorB T710-1. And we can see that that's running Windows Server 2012 R2 data center. Right? Life is good. We've got a Windows Server 2012 technical preview node. So this is vNext. And they're in the same cluster. And we've got virtual machines. Both the virtual machines right now are running on the 2012 R2 node. And if we look at the VMs, we can see that we've got one that has no checkpoints, it's running away. We've got a second one that has a checkpoint on it. It's an online checkpoint, and it's there. So let's go ahead and pause and drain those VMs. So we now see that they've migrated over, both online. No, nothing super magic about that yet, but just for fun, let's migrate them back. So there we go. They've just been moved back. So you guys were the first people publicly to see virtual machines live migrating from Windows vNext back to 2012 R2. Pretty cool. All right, so let's go through and complete our operation. So let's drain our roles, move them over. So the virtual machines have all migrated over. Now let's just say for a moment I wanted to create a new virtual machine. So I'm on my vNext node. I create a new virtual machine, go through my wizard. So I'm going to store it here, and we'll call it, you know, demo. And let's say, let's call it a generation 2 virtual machine. We'll say, yeah, fine, VHDX, fine. So we've created our new virtual machine, and we see it's version 5.0, right? Because we're still in mixed version mode. Even though we've paused this node, even though we're on a vNext node, because we're still in mixed cluster mode, we've limited the ability to create 6.0 virtual machines, even through the Hyper-V manager, even through PowerShell, to protect against a state where you accidentally get a virtual machine in the cluster that's not supported. So now let's go ahead and complete our process. So we're just going to go evict our cluster node. There we go. It's evicted. So now we're ready to upgrade our one node cluster. We'll open our PowerShell here, and we'll say update cluster functional level. Yes, we want to upgrade our cluster functional level. So now we've upgraded our cluster functional level. So now we're able to create and manage 6.0 virtual machines. So if I create a new virtual machine, call this guy demo 2, and make him a generation 2 virtual machine as well. Finish. So we see the version of this virtual machine is 6.0. So it's going to be able to take advantage of new capabilities in Hyper-V. It also won't be able to live migrate back to or move back to 2012 R2, but it gets the new capabilities. So what about our existing virtual machines? We've got these two guys. What do we do with them? So the first thing I'm going to show is this is VM1. So it's got our existing XML file. Everything is the way we expect it to be. So if we shut this guy down, he's off. And then we say, let's do git VM, VM name, VM1. We see that our version is 5.0. It's a generation 2 virtual machine. Now we just run our update. VM configuration version, yep. And we say VM name, VM1. So it's going to ask confirm. Yes, do you want to do this? This is an irreversible process. The virtual machine won't be migratable back. Yep, absolutely I do. So we saw one big change. We saw that the XML was gone, and we've got two new files. So we're changing our virtual machine file format. It used to be an XML file. We're now changing it to a binary file that has some additional properties of resiliency. It's got better performance, lower memory usage. That change automatically occurs when we update the virtual machine configuration version. And while this guy starts up, let's say start. So he's up and running. He's ready to go. So we can see this VMRS file grew. This is now our bin file. If you guys are familiar with the bin and VSV file, this is now the bin file as opposed to .bin. But what about VM2? We've got this online checkpoint. Like, what's going to happen with that guy? So similarly, we're going to shut it down. And we'll do the same process. So again, it's going to ask, it's going to say, are you sure you want to do this? You want to upgrade the virtual machine? Yes, I do. And it's going to update as well. So now our checkpoint has been converted automatically to an offline checkpoint, but it's version 6.0, right? As well as the virtual machine itself is version 6.0. There's a bug in this UI. This will update to 6.0 if I refresh a couple times. There we go. And in the next build that comes out, that confirmation with checkpoints will actually list all the checkpoints and say, are you sure you want to update? These checkpoints are going to be converted to offline as well as we go through the process. So we're adding that UI support as well. So in a nutshell, that is what our configuration version story is. That's our upgrade process for Windows vNext. That's what we're introducing from Hyper-V for this rolling cluster upgrade support. Look good? Yeah? Excited? Okay. Give us 1 minute. We'll take questions. I want to make sure we get them on the mic so we can all hear them. So a couple best practices and recommendations. So as always, back up your important VMs and data, your infrastructure, and any important workloads. And being the backup PM for Hyper-V, I also always want to mention, test your restores out as well. I can't tell you how many times I've heard we were running backups and everything looked good, then we actually needed to restore and the restore didn't work. So, you know, before you make a big infrastructure upgrade, always try at least one restore and just make sure, yep, things actually restore the way we expect them to. Validate your infrastructure. Make sure you've got enough capacity, right? Now, generally, if you had enough capacity to do patching operations, you've probably got enough capacity for a rolling cluster upgrade. But just make sure you've got enough capacity to support it. That means while one node's out, do you have enough capacity to support the important critical workloads that you have? Do you have enough failover capacity if one of those nodes happened to have a power failure or a network failure to keep running? Check your hardware. Make sure that it's going to be supported by vNext. Don't get yourself into a situation where you upgrade the hardware and go, oh, there's no network driver for my server. One important note is that with Windows vNext, we're requiring that all Hyper-V nodes support second-level address translation, or EPT. So some older first-generation virtualization hosts are no longer going to run Hyper-V. Generally, we've only found this to be a challenge for labs and older machines, but it's something to be aware of. Make sure you've got all the required drivers. One of the key points that we really tried to make in this upgrade was the ability to roll back. So if you get yourself into a situation where you've moved some workloads over, they're not behaving the right way, you can simply move them back to 2012 R2, go address the problem, figure out what drivers need to be fixed. But you know, set yourself up for success. Make sure you've got that information available beforehand. I would certainly recommend having a test VM. Have one test VM that you can move over to the nodes before you start moving critical workloads over. Just make sure, live migration works the way I want it to. The networks are configured the right way. My VLANs work. I've done all the right stuff to make sure that the node is running the way I want it. So this kind of brings us into our conclusion. We talked about this basic model for private cloud. Right? We talked about the scale file server. We talked about the compute nodes. We talked about our management cluster. And we've really talked about how we enabled the foundation, being Windows Server failover clustering, to upgrade and facilitate our upgrade of all of these different components and roles. Right? We talked about how we can move workloads for a scale file server. We talked about how we're going to move those for Hyper-V. You'll be hearing from the System Center teams about how they're enabling this process to go forward as well. How are they going to enable the same sort of functionality? And how are they going to help us drive that functionality going forward? Right? So it enables us to complete this entire upgrade process. We really carried this through into the workloads. Right, we're carrying it into the management workloads. We've carried it into the storage workloads. We've carried it into the compute workloads. So we built that foundation, and we're moving those into the workloads. And I think as we go forward, you'll expect to see more and more workloads snap to this foundation as they want to present the same sort of seamless upgrade experience. The cluster team has really built a great foundation for them to leverage. Our goal was to make this simple. Our goal was to make this a very simple, easy, seamless process so that our rolling upgrades from Windows Server 2012 R2 to vNext within the same cluster was easy, seamless. It was just like you would expect a patching experience or a migration experience to be. It had to be seamless. We had to have zero downtime. So what we really think we've demonstrated today is an ability to do a zero downtime, seamless upgrade of your entire infrastructure without any of your tenants being aware of it, without anything changing up above, without any SLAs being violated, without any SLA exceptions being presented. It's a seamless, easy, zero downtime upgrade. There's a bunch of related content. There's going to be a great session this afternoon by Ben Armstrong on all the new things that we're doing in Hyper-V. So we touched a little on a few of them, upgrade, the new configuration file format. There's a bunch of other new ones. There's some hot ad stuff we're doing. There's some great work that's going on. I'd highly encourage you to check that session out. We've also done a number of other great sessions. Some track resources. Exams, blah, blah, blah. I do want to compel you, please complete an evaluation for our session. We really appreciate the feedback. It helps us in terms of figuring out the right content, the right way to present the content to you guys. So please do complete an evaluation. With that, we've got time for questions. I would like to ask if you can use the mic. That would be very helpful. Questions? Yeah? Was this exactly what you guys wanted to see? Excited?
That's good.
My last leaving note is the vNext builds are available, right? You can download them. Please give this stuff a try. Give us your feedback, right? We took your feedback from the last time. We tried to really listen to that, take that to heart, and make changes. We really want the feedback on what we've delivered thus far. It will drive changes into the products. So, you know, if you guys come back and we get a bunch of feedback that says, you know, this was great, but we need one more thing, that's the feedback that we leverage to go back to our development teams and say, you know what, we need to go find the resources to put on this and make this happen. So please do present that feedback to us. Oh, question.
You said one of the feedbacks you had was that people couldn't upgrade from 2012 to 2012 R2 without taking downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you worked on that feedback and you've just shown us 2012 R2 to vNext. What happened to 2012 to vNext?
So we did try to maintain as much 2012 to vNext as we could. That's why we did live migration support from 2012 to vNext. There were challenges that we came up with, and one of the big ones is that 2012 had already shipped. And the ability to kind of go back and update that in a critical enough way to make it work for like rolling cluster upgrade and make that the infrastructure changes was really difficult, if not impossible, to do with a shipped OS. So we actually started this work with 2012 R2. So when we started doing the work from 2012 R2, we started plumbing in the ability to make this kind of functionality available. So we kind of got stuck in the N-1 problem. We heard the feedback, but it was too late to fix it in the shipped OS. So we tried our best to make sure we had support in the next one to build that foundation as we go forward. Our goal is to make sure that this kind of stuff continues to work and becomes easier and easier with each new version of the OS. Really, our goal is to make sure you guys are always able to stay on the next current OS. So you're going to be able to take advantage of that new functionality. Yeah? Is VMM support coming for this? For vNext? So VMM support is coming for vNext, absolutely. I can confirm that they are working with us on adding, making sure they've got support for cluster rolling OS upgrades. So you should expect to see that in future preview builds of VMM. So our goal is to make sure that you can basically write a runbook and say, yep, upgrade my stuff, and have that all work. Yeah. Yes? I'm having a hard time hearing you. I heard upgrade support for rolling cluster upgrade from 2012 to vNext. So I'm sorry, I'm really having a hard time hearing you. So I heard rolling upgrade support 2012 R2 to vNext. Yeah. Updating patch level. So the only patch that I know we need is this April patch for cluster, right?
Yes, but yeah. we do expect that you start with a patched cluster, a fully patched cluster, so it should have all the updates on it on the Windows Server 2012 R2 cluster before you start.
Okay. All right.
If you'd like, we can move through the FAQs.
I don't think so. So we do have, and you guys can download this, there are some additional FAQ slides at the end of the deck, just if you want to go through them. So all this deck content will be available for download. as well as our contact information. So that's our email addresses. You can always tweet me, Hyper_V_TaylorB. Happy to hear from you guys. Enjoy the rest of the show.